Back years ago, 2001, we were all devastated with the events of September 11. And there was this iconic picture of firefighter Bob Beckwith standing next to President Bush. In fact, it's the only way that Bob Beckwith could get himself on the cover of Time magazine. Standing next to President Bush in the rubble of the World Trade Center. Quite a picture. Now, about 2.5 years after that, the president was running for re-election. In fact, he was trying to win Wisconsin. And he came to Wisconsin. I found out about it a little late, and I couldn't get within 6 blocks of the highway here where the president went, right? How accessible was the president then? Well, we understand that motorcades and things like this have to be protected. We have to make the president inaccessible at times like that, and this past week has reminded us just how important that is as we've remembered the death of President Kennedy just 50 years ago. So the president has to be somewhat inaccessible, but I have a king. I have a king who's accessible. I have a king that can get to people. But I want to read to you something about Jewish law. Jewish law says there are certain people who must never be part of the community, at least not for the time that they have these conditions. I'm going to read to you a few passages from the book of Leviticus. It's going to start at chapter 13, beginning with the 45th verse. Leviticus chapter 13 is kind of tough because it's all about laws regarding leprosy and diagnosing and dealing with the problem. And finally, when you've determined a person is leprous, it says, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean, he shall live alone, his dwelling shall be outside the camp. What a life, huh? Turning to chapter 15, beginning at the 25th verse, I realize this one's going to get a little personal, but it's important. If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not at the time of her menstrual impurity, or if she has a discharge beyond the time of her impurity, all the days of the discharge she shall continue in uncleanness. As in the days of her impurity, she shall be unclean. Jumping down to verse 31, we get the reasoning behind some of these laws. Thus you shall keep the people of Israel separate from their uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness by defiling my tabernacle that is in their midst. God was present in the midst of the people of Israel, and he says you have to keep those things that are unclean outside. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you today for Jesus. I thank you that this is my accessible King. I thank you that Jesus is someone who didn't mind walking in the dirt of this world. Open our eyes to him and let us see him. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus got into some pretty grungy situations. I'm going to read one to you, and you have the scripture there from Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 42. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Touched him! Touched him! Touched him! You're not supposed, they're supposed to be outside the camp. Outside. What part of outside doesn't Jesus understand? Outside means outside means outside. What part of outside is confusing Jesus? He's outside. Get him out of there. Get away from him. He's filth. He's dirt. He's unclean, Jesus. Don't you get it? I will, Jesus said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. My Jesus. My King. Someone who ranks just quite a few notches above my president. Walked into the filth of this world and touched it. Luke chapter 8. I'm going to start at verse 41. There came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue. How's that for highfalutin, huh? Ruler of the synagogue. Straighten my tie. Make sure my hair is combed. And he fell at Jesus' feet. He implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. Now, folks, if you're Jairus, it is time to get out the red lights and the siren. Get Jesus there just as soon as humanly possible. Sooner would be better. We should, in fact, be flight for lifing Jesus to this girl, right? Well, Jesus went right away. And the people pressed around him. We got to see this. This is going to be good. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. Unclean! Unclean! For 12 years. She shouldn't be in a crowd. She should be in quarantine. You shouldn't see her. You shouldn't be around her. Yuck! This is serious yuck. By the way, yuck's a Greek word. And though she spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. Well, doesn't that confirm it? Isn't this the curse of God? Physicians couldn't do a thing for her. God has cursed her. Leave her alone. Get her away from us. Her curse might hit us too. Get rid of her. Get her out. Well, she came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his garment. What a horrible thing to do. Defiled by sweet, precious, clean Jesus. What a horrible thing. Well, immediately her discharge of blood ceased, and Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" And everyone denied it, and Peter, standing on the sidelines here with his face in his palm, "Jesus, first of all, Jairus is here. We are rushing to save his daughter's life, and you're stopping to find out who touched you?" He said, "Jesus, I don't know if you've got the memo, but the crowds are around you and are pressing in on you. Don't you get it, Jesus? Now let's go. This is a synagogue ruler, and no matter what it was, you don't have time. Get moving." Jesus said, "No, we're stopping. Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. Jesus is waiting around for a long testimony. How many of you have heard long testimonies? And he waited and listened to every word she had to say. Doesn't Jesus know how important this guy is? Doesn't Jesus know how important that daughter is to him? Hasn't Jesus got a clue? And he turned to this filthy, unclean woman and listened to every word she said and looked at her. Yeah, that's what he did. That's my Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Jesus didn't seem to mind. Filthy, unclean. I mean, he's the king. He's supposed to be keeping clean, right? But the filth of this world touched him, and it didn't bother him. Now, if you were in Sunday school this morning, you heard another story. Jesus was near Jerusalem, getting ready for Passover. A messenger comes and says, someone you love is sick. Your good friend Lazarus, he's in Bethany. If you hurry, you can get there. Jesus sacked out for two, count them, days. And then he went. When he arrived, he found out Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Well, actually, he knew before that. He knew that Lazarus was dead, and he finds out, and hears people say, he's been dead for 4 days. The two sisters come up, and they both say the same thing. If you had been here, my brother would have lived. Where were you? Starting at the 38th verse, Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Well, somebody smart around here, Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, let me be delicate. By this time, there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Do you know what 4 days dead means? It means, in fact, I'm going to set this down. I'm going to get myself a nice old King Jimmy. Boyd's happy. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. For he hath been dead 3 days. Yes, the King James Version maintains its regality. We lose ours. He stinketh, Jesus. Get a clue. We do not move stones in front of 4 days dead guys. I mean, maybe 6, 7 months, a year, 2 years. That's what they used to do. After a couple of years, they would go in and collect the bones and put them in bone boxes. Archaeologists have collected hundreds of these bone boxes from that era. Well, you figure the tombs at that time would have one or two places for a body. They're going to get filled up pretty quick, aren't they? So Jesus, it stinks. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you, if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. How many of you have seen a Jesus movie? How many of you have seen a Jesus movie that has this scene in it? With Lazarus rising. How many of you have seen the scene where a couple of guys take one for the team and head over and get a couple of sticks and pry bars and pry that stone to the side? Have you ever seen that? I've seen it. Yeah. How many of you saw those guys throw up afterward? Well, shouldn't they have? Well, this is a family movie and everyone's watching eating popcorn, so we don't want to do that to you. But not a cringe, not a gag. Folks, they should have been sick. I don't care what Jesus is doing. I got to go behind the bush. I mean, it had to be awful. The stench should have filled the area. If Lazarus was really dead. And if he wasn't, somebody should have said, hey, something's different here. So, that's the problem with Jesus movies. They sanitize. stank. And Jesus walked into the middle of it. Jesus got close when everyone moved away. And he lifted his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around so that they may believe you sent me. Yeah, Jesus, God sent you into the stink farm. Are you out of your mind? And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out. Don't you love it? Is that anticlimactic? It's not exactly a blowing of trumpets, you know. His hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said, unbind him and let him go. And many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. He touches the leper. He touches the unclean. And he walks into a stink factory. Why does my king do that? Because that's what my life has been. My life is unclean. My life is diseased. My life stinks. Does it offend you? Does it offend you that the King of glory, he who measures the earth in his hand and hollows out the heavens with a span and comprehendeth the dust, walks into this filth? Does that offend you? Does that bother you? Or does it bother you that he called you to follow him into the same thing? He calls us to walk into the worst this world can dish out, because he faced it first and he's our king. When there's a war, where is the president? The answer is somewhere else, right? Wherever the war is, the president's somewhere else. And if he comes into a war zone, there's been months of security before he shows up. During Jesus' day, where was the king when there was a war? Where, Boyd? In the front. He led the charge. First to the charge, last to the retreat. Where did my king go when this world was filthy? He went to the front. Are you his followers? Now, I think it means two things. I'm going to wrap up with these two thoughts. Thing number one, we are not to be like this world. We should, as much as possible, be attractive, winsome, not unclean, not smelling bad. We should be clean people, people that attract. We should represent the King in how we live, in how we dress, in how we present ourselves to a watching world. Oh, yes, and in how we drive. We should present ourselves as citizens of the King. The second thing it means is that we have to walk up to those and deal with those who don't. And both of those apply to all of us, don't they? Well, they apply to us only if we're followers of the King. But you look at what the book of Hebrews says. In Hebrews chapter 13, the writer talks about all those cleanliness rules, all the stuff that was done to keep the camp clean. But then he says, when Jesus was crucified, where did he go? Outside the gate, outside the camp, where there were filthy, bleeding women, where there were lepers shouting, unclean, unclean. He walked past them all to the hill of the skull. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12 says, so Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, the writer says, let us go to him outside the camp, into the filth, and bear the reproach he endured. Not easy words, are they? Those aren't altar call words. Those aren't the things you say in order to attract people to following Jesus. They're things for people who have said, Lord, I am able to follow you. I love you, and if you're going there, I want to be at your side. And I want to face the same dirt, the same stench you face. Because I believe you're headed in the right direction. When Jesus bore that cross and was nailed to it, were you standing beside him?